Christ. Amen. Beginnings are special. A newborn baby, a new semester at school, fresh laundry, that new car smell, a honeymoon, dumping the puzzle pieces out on the table and beginning to turn them all picture side up. Well, I don't like puzzles all that much, but those who like puzzles like to do that. I remember going on vacation with my family as a kid. Sometimes my dad would back the car into the garage in order to get everything loaded up, packed into the car. And then, sometimes very early in the morning, we would get in the car, drive out of the garage, forward. That was the feeling of the beginning of a new adventure. I often think about Lent as a journey. You've heard me talk about it that way. It's an adventure down the road, perhaps with some understanding about where we're going, but ready for new wonders and surprises, hopefully good surprises mostly. It's a journey because that's what it is for Jesus. Jesus moves closer and closer to Jerusalem. Wonders and surprises await Jesus on this journey, but also, tragically, the cross. He walks, of course, and along the way he meets people, talks with them, transforms their lives in some cases. Jesus stays in some places for a while, but is eventually on the move again. And there are at least two places in the story where this journey begins. In about the middle of the gospel story, when Jesus' story tells us that now Jesus began to set his face toward Jerusalem. But also, the whole story is a journey, like our own lives, that begin at the beginning of life, our first breath, our first steps. The beginning that we start with today is a beginning of recognition. A recognition by Jesus that he has a purpose, a calling to fulfill. Jesus recognizes, in part, by intentionally allowing all of the distractions of life to fall away, Jesus recognizes that there is a voice to which one must listen, and a voice that must be rejected. Perhaps we don't know a whole lot about what Jesus experienced early in life, growing up in Nazareth and living there as a young adult, we assume. Often, we assume that Jesus was very aware of his identity, his unique character as the Son of God, but we don't really know. We have that very brief account of Jesus as a boy in the temple. He calls it my Father's house. But that's the only time we hear about Jesus before his baptism. The gospel account seems to indicate that his baptism is the point when Jesus chooses to act on his beliefs in a new way. Jesus chooses to create a new beginning. I was a young adult once. I remember beginning that journey of self-discovery, of taking a look at the world and considering how I might engage. We all grow up asking that question, what are you going to be when you become an adult? And maybe we never get past the desire to make money and to be successful, but there comes a time when you look around and you say to yourself, what does the world really need me to be? It can happen when you're a young adult, when you're asking that question about what you want to do and be as a career, although people don't choose necessarily anymore a career for a lifetime. But it can also happen later in life or earlier. And maybe, probably, it happens several times over a lifetime. It's called vocation. And it's more than just a career. Vocation is what you are called to be and do. It can be part of a career, but it can also be totally separate. The best way that I know to describe vocation is to think about the needs and the cares of the world around you, and then consider just how you might be uniquely gifted to address one or more of those needs, even how you might enjoy addressing those needs. Vocation isn't needed in a perfect world. Vocation grows out of a world where people and the elements of creation need care and nurture, and sometimes intervention against the forces that would do harm. And that is what it means to have a calling. I think Jesus experienced a calling in his life. I don't think it was something he always knew, as if 4-year-old Jesus knew how he was going to grow up and teach and heal and die on the cross and after 3 days rise again. I think Jesus grew up in a world of great need and struggle and suffering, not unlike any other time in the history of the world. But Jesus didn't turn away from those realities. He didn't ignore the suffering. And he perceived quite clearly how and from whom that suffering germinated and was perpetuated. The people and the systems that caused poverty, oppression, inequality, and fear. Jesus saw empire and greed. He saw determination and classism. Jesus saw how the institutions of the world manipulated the poor and the weak for their own gain. And at the same time, Jesus heard the voice of God through scripture, tradition, as lived faith in and through others around him. Jesus put all of these things together, the pain of the world and the voice of God that loved the world even in its suffering. Jesus came to understand that he had a unique role to play in this world, something to say, some skill to bring to bear, a way that he could affect people's lives for the better. Jesus had found his vocation, and his journey began. It seems that Jesus' first steps on this journey was to hang out with this character named John, who, aside from maybe being his cousin, may have had many of the same perceptions about the world as Jesus did. He ends up getting baptized by John, and then, as the story goes, the Spirit leads him on an excursion into the wilderness. A new beginning has come in Jesus' life. It's a beginning of a vocation, a ministry that will change his life and the whole world. And so every Lent, on this first Sunday, we come back to this beginning, these first steps of Jesus' journey. It's Jesus' journey, but it's also our journey. And it's significant to note that this time in the wilderness isn't Jesus' idea necessarily. It says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Mark's gospel says that the Spirit pushes Jesus, drives him forcefully into this place where he will be tried and tempted. Sometimes our journeys can start out kind of rough. Maybe we've just gotten out of town and the check engine light comes on, or you realize that you forgot something important. But Jesus' foray into the wilderness isn't some kind of inconvenience. It's an intentional part of the journey, because it's a journey into the heart and purpose of God as much as the needs of the world. Jesus starts his journey in the same way that many of us start our journeys, with questions and insecurities even. with temptations to trust the reality of our own abilities and ignore the grace of God. When a recruit for the military begins their journey, they go to boot camp, basic training. They are quite literally forced, shoved into this task. There's no way around it. And it may be that basic training is a way to weed out those who can't cut it, or force the new recruits to learn to depend on their abilities. But a particular purpose of basic training, maybe the primary purpose, is to show the recruits that they are nothing without each other. They will depend on each other, and the relationships that are forged within the community of the military, both in times of peace and in times of war. Relationships will be their tether to life. Jesus' time of temptation in the wilderness is also a time to recognize that he is not alone. Despite his isolation and the fatigue and the deprivation of food, Jesus responds to the devil and his temptations with words of trust in God and God's gift of humanity to and for one another. It will not be a loaf of bread that gives life, but the word of God and the community of faith that speaks that word. All the kingdoms and powers of the world are meaningless without the love of family and neighbors, and even love for strangers and travelers in and between those kingdoms. Yes, God will guard our lives and even our little toes against the pain of a misdirected footfall. But to test the grace of God for personal gain is to bring about the very suffering from which God is promising in Jesus. We will be rescued. Jesus' journey begins with these questions and assurances, because every journey of faith must establish that God is the one who leads us, be it into the storms and through the darkest valleys or to the splendor of mountaintops. Our journeys, our calling of vocation in the world, where we will be given into the deepest sufferings of the world as a voice of hope and truth, they begin with the question, who is this that seeks to feed us and sends us and keep us safe? If we answer anything other than the Lord of heaven and earth, then perhaps we need to go back to the beginning and start again. When Paul writes to the Romans, the Christian church that is planted and growing there, Paul is eager to help them to know that wherever the journey of faith takes them, and among whomever they are called to love and serve in the name of Jesus, the word of God is near. Just like God's word was near to Jesus in the wilderness when the devil's voice seemed to be so loud, God's word, God's voice is near to us. And as Paul says, no one will be put to shame. This is important to know as we start our journey through Lent once again. Important and hopeful and joyful and life-giving, because just as Jesus' journey leads him to the cross, our journey will lead us to places of pain and suffering. Vocation demands that we go to the pain and the suffering and live and die there for the sake of those whom God so loves. But in our own pain, in our own suffering, Jesus and those called by God will be with us too. We journey together. We work and play and serve and live and die together. And God's word is near to us, and Jesus' healing hand is near to us. So let's load up that station wagon and head out of the garage, head first. And let's discover together what wonders and surprises this journey has in store. Amen.